Blowing Off Steam, written by Demery, read by Opalsong. Fandom, My Hero Academia. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for fluff and smut, light angst, body image, hijinks and shenanigans, physical restraint, anal fingering, frottage, intercural sex, fantastical descriptions of skin and sex in a prohibitively wet environment. Because in a world of quirks and superheroes, I still side-eye wet sex because, seriously, no. Aizawa being a beautiful, outstanding member of sexual society. Aizawa being a goddamn hoe. Toshinori, I'm sorry, but you're in love now. Also, you're highly flipping gay. And negotiations. Club isn't the best place to find a lover, so the bar. Part 16 of the Bandages and Bravado series. Come over and start up a conversation with just me, and trust me, I'll give it a chance. Now take my hand, stop it, and the man on the jukebox, and then we start to dance. And now I'm singing like, girl, you know I want your love. Your love was handmade for somebody like me. Come on now, follow my lead. I may be crazy, don't mind me. Say, boy, let's not talk too much. Grab on my waist and put that body on me. Come on now, follow my lead. Come, come on now, follow my lead. Smell like you every day, discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body. I'm in love with your body. Aizawa did a lot of things for his students. He wasn't showy about it, not like a certain golden hero, anyway. And he effortlessly towed the line between helping the children and indulging them, maintaining an austere benevolence that rankled rather than ingratiated. From the children's perspective, he may have been a bit hard to love, Toshinori could imagine, but such was the more arduous aspect of trying to form their personalities. Sure, it was easy to bounce in and take the class on a whirlwind adventure and be the good guy, but to constantly push them to do better, day in and day out, it took a deep heart and a firm will. Aizawa had all of that in spades. What he didn't have, however, was whimsy and a blatant desire for self-destruction, which is why Toshinori was currently staring at his co-teacher from across the faculty lounge table like his ears must be utterly broken. "But you don't go to spas," he said at last, the only fact he could bring to the table. "I don't," he confirmed, deadpan. "Which is why you should come with me, because someone should enjoy this if I'm not going to." "Did I, ever express interest in something like that?" All Might muttered to himself, then waved his big hand, chuckling weakly. "It might be simpler if you just go. Class 1B is coming and Khan isn't. You're really going to leave me alone with all of these kids?" It wasn't a question. Toshinori thought frantically, still sorting through Aizawa's explanation. Everyone had done well on the written exams, and this was their last chance to relax before the practical portion, which was by far the harder challenge. It was good to have a grounding and community-building activity like this before something team-oriented like the final exams. The students deserved to have fun. All Might agreed, in general, with the obvious caveat that he should be nowhere near any of it. At all. I mean to say, I can't corral the girls. Obviously, it's sex segregated.
Nemori is going with the girls, and it's not the girls I'm worried about, Aizawa said flatly, peering up at him. He put down his pen, tucking his hair behind his ear. Come on. Come with me. The low tone, the words, the gesture. And Toshinori wanted to. His mind raced, panicked. Yamada-san, then. I can't imagine anyone more suited to such a night.
He doesn't like anybody to see him naked. He's got a paunch.
The homeroom instructor muttered, clearly annoyed. It was obvious Aizawa had already asked, as Yamada was his first choice for most things. Perhaps desperate for distraction, All Might thought about that. The Super DJ's power really didn't require any sort of physical training, and he seemed like a pretty busy and distracted individual, with a fondness for quick food and candy, and a fragile ego, it seemed.
Plus, he keeps saying something about being invited to DJ an awards show that night. Who knows?
Aizawa shook his head, exhausted. Then, clearly decided to switch tracks in his manipulation scheme. As Toshinori watched, he sat back in his chair and stretched, even going so far as to give him a mild kind of smile.
The kids would be happy to go with you. Maybe even tell stories about it.
I don't want to do anything worthy of a story in a hot spring. Toshinori sighed hopelessly, folding his arms across his caving chest and staring out of the staff room window. Aizawa tapped the table with his pen, anchoring the older man's attention. It worked, though he was clearly tired, hair hanging lank and dull around his drawn face. The look in his sharp eyes was serious.
Look at me. Tell me honestly. Is it going to hurt you to maintain your hero form long enough for you to make a few appearances and spend an evening at a kitschy, expensive, stupidly popularized sauna?
No,
Toshinori said quietly, long fingers tangling over his knife-like elbows. He wasn't so broken down that sitting and talking and snacking was a pain.
What are your fears?
His mouth twitched despite himself.
That was his Aizawa sensei, cutting to the core of the matter. And it helped that they'd had this conversation before, about other things, yes, but the question was familiar and deserved his full attention. What was he afraid of? Being stripped. Exposed.
I can't get in the water. Disrobe, rather, he said, with a sigh, rubbing morosely at his neck as he stared at the floor.
He felt very strongly that children of this age should be encouraged, as much as possible, to be at ease with their changing bodies, and the communal area and shame-stripped bubble of hot springs was ideal for kids to see that they were all different in different ways, but all the same. His scar would do nothing for that atmosphere, though part of him wished he could begin the conversation that all young heroes should have, that to be a true hero, flesh was often the first thing given on the journey. None of them stayed very pretty for very long, considering the difficulty of the job. And yet, physical scars were, in most ways, preferable to mental ones. Toshinori wanted to talk about it with them, and yet he would do everything in his power to avoid it until it was absolutely necessary. The dilemma was, in a way, the crux of his character. A heart so big he struggled with sharing necessary but painful truths. If just because it dulled the smiles of those around him and filled them with fear. That's why he had Aizawa. Rather, why they complimented each other so well in the classroom. His co-teacher didn't shy away from truth of any kind, and that aggressive, dutiful strength still amazed Toshinori. He wished he could be more like Aizawa. And yet,
your injury, Aizawa said in low, even tones, patient.
Toshinori nodded without looking up, even as a little shiver grazed his back. He didn't think the words had ever been spoken aloud between them, though the knowledge was certainly there, usually hidden under a shirt or another thin excuse, even as the rest of their bodies crashed without restraint. The irony wasn't lost on him. In fact, he budgeted a shameful amount of energy towards ignoring it.
I'm afraid the sight of me would raise more questions than answers, especially before something as big as their final exams.
Young Midoriya and Bakugo in particular may alter their strategies because of it, and the rest of the children, they might get rowdy, and I don't want to have to refuse them and make it awkward.
Things are going to be plenty awkward already, Aizawa said dryly.
He looked up, chin on his knuckles.
But I understand, and agree that discretion is key. If I take care of that particular issue, and ensure minimal time as All Might, will you come and watch the students with me?
Yes, Toshinori agreed too quickly, perhaps reacting only to how much Aizawa wanted him there, and how it made him feel. His heart beat a little faster, struck by how pleased his co-teacher looked in that moment. Even if Yamada-san had been his first choice, it still felt acutely nice to be asked to such a social thing at all. In many ways, despite the kindness offered, he still felt like an outsider to the staff, and this helped.
Toshinori opened his mouth to ask something else, like how in the world the younger pro was going to run interference through an entire evening at Oedo Onsen, long enough for them to get through the night and have the children not think it odd that their teacher wasn't doing the normal thing of sitting and relaxing in the wet spa.
But Aizawa, objective completed, was already on his way out, gathering his bag and pausing to grip Toshinori's sharp shoulder bracingly, as if they were going into battle.
Good man. I'll bring alcohol. We'll need it.
Toshinori winced, gripping nervously into his flyaway hair as soon as the door closed behind him, and running the dates in his head. This Friday. His doctor was going to kill him. Time to reschedule and beg forgiveness. Again.
Considering the level of organization and stealth, the night of the sauna was almost a dry run of the forthcoming training camp. Almost. The children of both 1A and 1B were only told to leave their things in their lockers at the end of the day on the Friday, which was just the right degree of context-stripped mystery to send half of them into a panic and the other half into a conniption fit of glee. Most of the bus ride, which Aizawa alone was lucky enough to be a part of, as Toshinori had begged off under pretense of preserving his time as All Might, and Nemuri was a terrible person who also had a driver's license, consisted of the former half of the class screaming at everyone to be prepared for a sneak attack or an explosion, and the other half wondering aloud what movie they were going to see. Aizawa tried his very best not to bang his head against the side of the bus. As they drove into the enormous parking lot and pulled up alongside the stooped, swooping antique entryway, with its turquoise detailing and golden-lit rice paper panels, the realization spread like a wave, and the bus shook with all the excited jumping. Migraine flirting with his temples, Aizawa hurried the brood off the school vehicle as quickly as he could, counting heads as they spilled out and ran for the front door. 39. Mineta Minoru was officially suspended for the year, re-entry to UA pending on proven change of character, and it was a distinct relief not to count him among their number that night. With both classes present and accounted for, Aizawa shot All Might a venomous look as the behemoth rolled on scene with an independent car and his stupid yellow suit, all smiles. His contribution to the entire ordeal was limited to giving all the kids high fives on the way in, who were screamingly thrilled to see him. Muscle-bound once more, Toshinori even had the nerve to grandly bow him in, so Aizawa made sure to step on his feet. Hard. There was a reason this particular kitschy spa was a favorite among the younger crowd. Considered a hot springs theme park, all entrants were allowed to pick their own traditional yukata and a matching, or artistically unmatching, band, and the unisex area was set up to look like an Edo-era street fair, with revolving themes. Colorful yukata in hand, already hyperventilating from excitement, the kids scattered off to the showers, bare feet pounding the overpolished wood. All Might and Aizawa followed at a far more demure pace, waving the girls off with Nemuri, who looked thrilled to be in a vortex of such youthful vigor and idiocy. 10 minutes later, as the soaking children flocked under his raised arms and beelined towards the pools, All Might scanned the layout of the wet spa. There was an outside area, beyond a floor-to-ceiling window frosted with condensation, with multiple barrel tubs and a lovely rock-lined pool that meandered under clutches of bamboo, submerged lights winking in the calm, clear water. Inside, tiled pools of varying heights and temperatures were scattered over the large area, already echoing with laughter and talking, and wet and dry saunas lined the walls. Spas or saunas were an interesting social experiment, Toshinori had to admit, as well as being steeped in history, particular to Japan. There was a lot to tell about how people behaved in a socially neutral situation, when technically defenseless, or just naked. Midoriya's body language was closed and shy, and he stayed submerged up to his reddened ears, no matter how many times Kirishima flamboyantly cannonballed into the hot pool. Todoroki leaned over the side of the cold pool, the only one brave enough to dip more than a toe in, and watched the fervor of his classmates sleepily from across the fogged room. Sero and Ida sat in the sauna room with towels, eyes closed but postures open, at ease. Kaminari, All Might saw, with a little relief, that Aizawa had not made good on his threat to chain him to the wall so he wouldn't electrocute the population of the entire sauna. The air was thick enough that it probably would have carried the charge like a dream. As he stood and supervised the initial scattering of the students, All Might found himself getting a little dizzy with the combined pressure of his hero form and the thickness of the air, his yukata feeling alarmingly thin on his bulging frame. Of course, they'd struggled to find one that fit him, and that was embarrassing enough. But overall, everyone had been very kind. He was grateful. Uneasy, unarmored, but grateful. Aizawa stepped up beside him and almost spooked him, his dark hair plastered to his head and shoulders from the showers. Even above the lightly chlorinated tang of the air, he smelled like something clean and green. He still had his robe on, thank goodness, but a quick glance showed the older hero that even a tawdry glimpse of the man's long throat and defined collarbone above the artful classic drape of the thin fabric, far too loosely cinched at his waist besides, was enough to make his mind wander. Maybe, past his surface-level concerns with the students, that was something else Toshinori was worried about. The possibility of being in close quarters with his fellow teacher in a way that no amount of towels or water could obscure the inevitable signs of his attraction to Aizawa. He winced. Because he was a hormonal mess of a 15-year-old boy as well, apparently, and had no business chaperoning anyone. Shit. All right, everyone. 1A, 1B, eyes on me. Aizawa announced, snapping his fingers. The sound echoed, wet and sharp. The boys turned from their various activities and pools, obedient, or at least quiet. We are here until 9 p.m. You all have meal vouchers that came in your entry packet, and no one is going to serve you alcohol, so don't even try. He paused pointedly, as if daring anyone to exclaim or comment in some way. There was not a single sound. All Might Sensei and I will be in our own room, he continued firmly, as if it was not to be questioned. He raised a finger, eyes narrowed. This is because, in exchange for bringing you here, we should also get to reap the benefits of the quote-unquote springs without hearing you lot screaming. If you need us for any reason, you may come and knock, but you will be technically unsupervised for the next 45 minutes. At most. If I come back to find one thing broken or burned or electrocuted, we're leaving. And I will not give you time to collect your clothes. Understand? Yes, Aizawa-sensei, came the shouted chorus, with half the boys looking properly cowed and the other half clearly calculating what they could get away with while their teachers were otherwise occupied.
Aizawa gave them one last long look, as if impressing upon them his omniscience. Then he turned and motioned to All Might, heading to the outside portion of the wet sauna. All Might followed dutifully, feeling a little embarrassed, but kept his strides long and his head up, and gave the boys a playful salute. "Character is what you do when no one is watching, young men. So behave, and maybe Aizawa-sensei and I will get you some shaved ice later. Sounds good, eh?" There were a few affirmative hoots, and another splash as Kirishima tried to climb on Bakugo's shoulders, and Bakugo chucked him straight into the cold pool. The otherwise hardy young man surfaced with a wrenching scream. The pools were well below 21 degrees Celsius, and accusations of very unmanly behavior, which Bakugo responded to by jumping into the pool himself and mercilessly dunking him again, to the collective groan of their clique. All Might sighed and pinched the bridge of his nose. Young heroes. At least quirks were banned in the pool area. The fresh air was a blessing to Toshinori's tight, broad chest as they stepped outside, clearing his lung instantly. Past the sunken pool and barrels, Aizawa led him to a grouping of cedar structures, short enough that he had to duck to get in. The door closed behind him and sealed the two heroes in, the only sound the gentle hiss of water evaporating from a stone atop the furnace. Aizawa promptly added another scoop of water to it, and steam gushed up, rippling and opaque. "Not too much, my friend," All Might said nervously, still a little on edge from the charade. He tugged at the sleeve of his yukata, ducking a bit to see if his gravity-defying bangs were actually dragging against the ceiling as he expected. "It's uncomfortable on my chest after a while."
"Me too,"
Aizawa muttered, unceremoniously throwing the ladle back into the bucket.
"I don't get the appeal in suffocating in these small boxes. Just setting the scene, I guess."
"You got a room for us," All Might said needlessly, after a moment, twiddling his thumbs. Aizawa made a bored noise, pacing the length of the hot room, his naked feet slapping the slatted wooden floor.
"It's shocking what you can ask for when you're with the amazing All Might. I barely stopped them from cooking a 5-course meal for us."
He sounded like he regretted the loss of the food more than anyone, but Toshinori had to admit it was for the best. The publicity wasn't worth it. He had been wondering why the staff was so polite yet restrained, and wondered if Aizawa had given them a talking to about making this an event for the students, not their teachers. They already had the admittedly kitschy establishment all to themselves. Classes 1A and 1B and their designated guardians, along with the guard posted outside. That was conspicuous enough. After a moment, All Might sat. The wood bench squeaked, and he spread his thick legs awkwardly, hunching over from habit. The sweat came immediately, coating his bulging muscles in a hot, close miasma, and part of him just wanted to be outside in the cool breeze, maybe sipping some chill green tea. Toshinori breathed out shakily, one enormous hand to the front of his robe, and his tense belly. Aizawa frowned.
"You should preserve your time," he said shortly, squeezing out his hair and tossing it over his shoulder. "We still have dinner to get through. If you still want to stay the whole night, that is."
"Oh, I forgot to say. Don't concern yourself with keeping minutes tonight, my friend." All Might gestured downward, flashing his co-teacher a strained grin. "I have a little help. A serum of sorts to help me last a little longer like this." Aizawa didn't look thrilled to have one less thing to worry about.
"A serum," he said at last, flinty in the low light.
"Yes, a cocktail of steroids and other things. Maybe a quirk or two," he admitted sheepishly. Then, as if to assure his co-teacher it wasn't something he'd purchased off the street, "It's something new Miss Chiyo is trying out. For the future. An experiment." Extending his time limit took away much of Toshinori's personal anxiety for the night, if he were perfectly honest. But Aizawa just shook his head.
"Performance-enhancing drugs. experimental performance-enhancing drugs, he said with clear reproach, chin high. Not for a battle, but for a sauna. The older I get, the more I realize that a little fun is the most worthy place for these kinds of things. All Might countered back with a fond look, refusing to be shamed for his priorities. Which were mostly the children. He leaned back against the wall in a show of relaxation, flashing a grin. Perhaps you've taught me the value of enjoyment and relaxation, Aizawa-kun.
I may have overstepped my lesson plan, he said dryly, brows high and arms crossed. Just don't overdo it.
Not on the schedule tonight, my friend. It may surprise you, but I'm actually weak as a kitten right now.
That earned him a look. Funny, Aizawa deadpanned. I wouldn't have locked the door tonight if I'd known Himawari could just rip it off its hinges.
Hey now, Toshinori said with a blustering laugh, patting his chest. In comparison, I mean. This serum is a trade. Form for function. Any exertion and I'm done for the night. I thought you should know.
Aizawa nodded after a moment, glancing him up and down the same way he had the robust police detail posted strategically around the onsen on the way in, accounting and calculating variables, as he was so skilled at doing, and likely noting him as a liability. Toshinori tried not to feel the sting of that, or at least get used to it, as it wasn't going to change.
That's fine, was all he said. Then, echoing his dark thoughts, you should focus more on being a symbol in the literal sense anyway. It's going to be a bumpy road for you, serum or no, so you may as well start now.
Hearing that, Toshinori smiled as best he could.
A symbol, meaning someone who stood for something. According to Miss Chiyo, standing was about all he was allowed to do for the next 4 hours, and he felt unduly grateful for even that. Toshinori tried not to think about the decision that had gone into this little experiment, or how many people had been directly involved in a decision about his body. With his time limit well below an hour, they had come down to the wire. The public needed to believe that All Might was still present and protecting the world, so a way to prolong his physical form was the obvious compromise to his waning abilities. But none could ignore the danger inherent in the bluff of public appearances. Should anyone attack, he would be helpless, and the reveal would be twice as painful. Perhaps undermining all faith in the hero profession. Toshinori felt the strain of the charade intimately, embittered with the labyrinthine and excruciating waylaying of the inevitable, and the people gathered around him that day. The few who knew his secret seemed to him like an excruciating panel, counting down. To what? Retirement? Forced retirement. A world without the symbol of peace, and in that vacuum, a kind of chaos Japan hadn't known in nearly a decade. Shigaraki and his ilk were just the messengers, testing out the growing cracks in a nation's confidence in heroes. And there would be more. They would be hungry. The veteran hero's ruined gut knotted in fear, and a mirroring responsibility lay heavy on his shoulders, as close and suffocating as the steam. Toshinori looked down at his big hand and clenched, feeling the devastating lack of power in his own grip. A bumpy road indeed, and one with a fixed destination.
You can be however you want, then.
Toshinori looked up, perplexed more by the interruption to his dreary thoughts than the offhanded statement. But Aizawa always had a sense of when he was getting dangerously introspective. The interruption was his best move to date. Beside him, as Toshinori watched, the younger hero pulled his waist tie free and, God forbid, shucked his entire yukata in one motion. Toshinori started coughing immediately, trying to avert his eyes, but utterly failing. Dark, wet hair tangled on the slope of his muscled shoulders, and Aizawa's body language was loose and exquisitely comfortable.
The steam created a silky, shifting veil in the air between them, vibrated by the yellow light above. He had just a towel to his front, not even wrapped around his hips, just there, with one hand and a raised brow and that dark trail of hair under the slit of his navel. Finally, finally, All Might looked away, fingers tangling over his mouth.
Aizawa said softly.
It was an accusation and an invitation and something entirely illicit. He smirked, showing teeth.
I'm sorry, All Might said immediately, uselessly fanning his face with his hand.
Suddenly, the wet, close heat was too much, even as he usually luxuriated in the hottest showers technology could afford. Why was this heat so different? Had it really been so long since he'd been to a sauna?
Don't apologize. Is there a particular reason why you're maintaining that form, then?
Aizawa turned, and the kissable dips in his lower back shone with sweat. His legs were painfully sculpted, calves rounded, thighs striped with shifting muscles, and everything pricked with scar tissue of varying shapes and size. All Might's mouth went dry, and he was most certainly a 15-year-old boy staring down the most belligerently shameless crush that had ever existed, and he didn't know how to hate it. All Might barely remembered that he was still wearing his own robe, which was going to be soaked with sweat unless he took it off. He hesitantly eased it off his huge shoulders and folded it in a needlessly neat little bundle, setting it aside. Then he sat, naked except for a towel, and trying to ignore the exaggerated welt of his scar, spreading across his left side, now devouring rich muscles instead of dry tendon. Toshinori moved his arm to block it as much as possible and grit his teeth. The cat was out of the bag, as they said, but for once Aizawa wasn't interested in cats, even metaphorical ones.
What I mean to say is, do you have any plans for tonight that I should know about?
What? All Might barked instantly, voice hoarse. What in the world did he mean? Toshinori touched his own muscled chest, like it was a suit he had forgotten to take off before swimming. Then he frowned, confused.
I thought you didn't like this. Me, like this.
Aizawa shrugged, his predatory look communicating that the want was a little more than skin deep. Toshinori's arousal spiked mercilessly, and he stubbornly put a hand over his towel and his groin. Damn. Damn, but this man had his number, as the kids said.
I thought you might like to,
Aizawa said easily, sitting and crossing his legs entirely too far away, and entirely too close, towel now draped over his lap.
If you'd ever wanted to be physical in this form, now's the time. It would be more than just me enjoying your enjoyment if you're really worried.
The younger hero glanced askance at him, another arch smile on his unshaven face. Toshinori looked down nervously, twiddling his thumbs again. See.
The whole thing has been stressful.
Aizawa groaned as he settled back, closing his eyes.
The security, the arrangements themselves. I want to blow off some steam with you, any way you like. If you can handle it, of course.
This is the place for steam, admittedly, Toshinori said shyly, chuckling. How did Aizawa make it sound so easy? But he couldn't. Not right there, with the kids within earshot. It was for the best that he be a model adult. Take a break from his hero form and try to enjoy the evening to the greatest, most platonic extent he could. Circulation and healing and health benefits and all that. So, making the heroic choice, Toshinori breathed out and let go, and then realized he actually couldn't. No matter how he concentrated or relaxed in turns, he couldn't wrangle the thoughts or body sense together to release this form. Maybe because it was currently flowing and pulsing with an entirely arresting kind of heat energy. Want, perhaps. It felt alive right then, and he didn't quite want that body or that feeling to leave.
I
think... I know, Aizawa said in a suffering tone, head against the wall, eyes closed. All Might covered his face with his hand, realizing what was going on. I think I'm stuck, he murmured, mortified. When his co-teacher looked over at him, sleepy but curious, he shook his head. I can't drop it. I think I'm stuck. This has never happened before. Toshinori was currently forcing his erection down underneath his towel, which was far too small for such a feat in this form. Just having Aizawa look at him while so very naked and so very close, his hot skin thrilled and his cock twitched graphically. This was bad. This was very, very bad. You're stuck. In your hero form, his co-teacher clarified. Dark eyes narrowed. Then he laughed, a short, indecent bark of mirth. Then let's go. I'm sure it's just the serum. I can't imagine. I'll have to tell Miss Chiyo. Shit! As he blustered, Aizawa reached over with his foot and lazily plucked the towel over Toshinori's lap with his goddamn toes. All Might smacked him away, heat gushing into his neck.
You're obviously aroused, Toshi.
All Might shushed him dramatically and then slapped his own face, realizing how stupid it all was. And that new name, the sweet, tart way it left Aizawa's mouth. He was surely going to die of bottled-up passion and all the confused feelings running amok in his huge body. For a moment, the very thought caused him to pause. Strange how it felt so different now, to be like this. At least equally as strange as his true form now, he realized with a start. Little steps. Little steps, if only towards the inevitable.
Fine, I'll leave you alone, Aizawa murmured,
clearly tickled by the foolish display. He settled back against the wall of dripping cedar and breathed in deeply, his sculpted, scarred arms slack at his sides.
I'm not trying to harass you. Just thought you might be into it.
And so they sat. And sat. After no more than 5 steaming minutes in complete silence, each one counted out of heavy habit, All Might rose to his feet and flung his towel to the side. Aizawa, perhaps sensing movement or the slap of the towel being discarded, opened his eyes and looked up at the towering, muscle-bound specimen currently staring him down in full glory. He arched a brow.
Wow, look at you. You finally match, Aizawa said indulgently,
and was assaulted. Even with his pitifully reduced strength, it was easy to grab the younger hero up off his feet on the sauna bench and hike him high on his barrel chest, one arm underneath his legs and ass. Aizawa took to the odd perch immediately, wrapping both arms around his neck and craning down to kiss him, breathless with the ceiling nearly scraping his naked back. Toshinori's big hand cupped his cheek to hold him close and kissable, swooning on his feet, until he felt a prick at his lip. Aizawa parted from him and slapped both hands on the dripping ceiling rafter.
Down, he said with a push of his thighs,
abdominal muscles jumping into sharp relief with the effort, and shoved them both onto the bench. Toshinori gladly fell, but winced upon impact as the entire wooden structure rattled around them. You're very lucky that didn't break, he said hoarsely, eyes wide as he looked up at the gorgeous man straddling him.
This place is heteromorph inclusive up to grade 5. You can't be that heavy, Aizawa mused, bending down again and licking over his open lips and arguing was suddenly a terrible waste of breath.
Easing himself back on the bench, Toshinori grabbed at the lithe body atop his with relish, happily struggling to keep a handful of his ass. Nakedness alone was a glorious, gluttonous experience. Their sweat-slick legs slid together, and hands sought purchase on necks and arms as they wrestled closer and kissed one another through crooked smiles. Blowing off steam, as was specifically prohibited in the sauna pamphlet,
and by any law of common decency. It was strange to have Aizawa so small or feel his hands so huge on the other man's tightly muscled body. It felt ungainly just to touch him. But Toshinori was beyond nerves, bound only by what felt amazing. He grabbed the curve of Aizawa's lower back and pulled him closer, kissing him messily. And he reached between them, repeating the incredible sensation from that first night he barely remembered. Aizawa groaned sharply into his mouth at the firm touch, grip tightening on his neck. And for a moment they just gasped in the hot, close air, Toshinori carefully fisting their slick cocks between the press of their bodies. The scar was almost forgotten, no more than a wrinkled edge to the storm of arousal in Toshinori's gut. He strained into the blissful escape with every limb, kissing Aizawa senseless and shuddering to feel the younger hero prop himself up, just so he could thrust into his tight fist, rutting against his fingers and cock with the faintest of moans. The molten dribble of pre-cum was a different kind of hot than the mixed sweat and sauna steam, and as the rich, slippery heat glazed his palm and the cut of the rub of water, Toshinori wanted nothing more than to lick it off, to hold Aizawa down and take his cock in his mouth, with his own throbbing between his legs. Curtailing his thoughts, Aizawa broke their tangle and rose, regarding him like some kind of drenched sphinx perched on his spread thighs. His hair was plastered to his throat and cheeks from their tussle, and his dark eyes glittered in the low light. "Hey," he breathed, his fingertip trailing down the curve of Toshinori's swollen cock, the same way his eyes scraped up his muscled chest. Toshinori's hands tightened on his hips, every bit of him tensing deliciously. "You should fuck me." And just like that, Toshinori released him, shock momentarily chasing all lust from his body. "We've talked about this," were the first words out of his mouth. A verbal blur.
"And we're talking about it again," Aizawa said evenly, regarding him with an expression made inscrutable by the steam between them. "I don't mean now. That would be stupid."
It was clearly a backhanded bit of scolding that Toshinori assumed he wasn't thinking straight, and the older hero glanced away, caught. He scrambled to think. Why would Aizawa broach such a subject here, now, when they were already on such thin ice? The answer was because he wanted it. As simple as that. And that alone made Toshinori's body curl with pleasant nerves. Having a lover, a partner, so straightforward was its own thrill. And maybe his physical body was temporarily padded enough that he could accept lust in his general direction again. The feeling was wildly invigorating, even if the proposition framing it was fraught.
"I know you won't hurt me,"
Aizawa pressed, perfunctory, or even impatient. All Might's heart gave a sickening thump in instant physical refute. "I can't just..." He shook his head, which sent it into a mild spin. Suddenly he was short of breath as well as words, and he had to run his hand through his swept back hair to buy time. Words. Words were difficult. More difficult still with Aizawa crouched above him, watching him think, his hand no longer toying with him, but hovering politely to the side. "Aizawa-kun, we've agreed to disagree on this," he began tensely, staring at the dull wooden slats of the floor and briefly wetting his lips. "It's not something to rush into. The truth is, I don't know that I won't hurt you. I would need something. Time, I suppose, or..."
"And that decision and that process is entirely up to you," Aizawa interrupted, leaning down and passing his hand firmly over Toshinori's muscled shoulder.
The simple, soothing touch stilled him and his anxious mind, and Toshinori looked up, suddenly all ears.
"The offer is still open, but I wanted to say, leave me to me. Don't worry about what I can or can't do, because I'll tell you. This goes both ways, okay?"
His tone alone, bracing and honest and devoid of any chiding, let Toshinori relax just a fraction. And that wasn't even considering the wonderful message it carried. Suddenly, the burden of the act was no longer solely on his shoulders. This did go both ways, and he could trust Aizawa to do his part, be his own advocate, possessed of full faculties and knowledge of self. Then the younger hero leaned even closer, and Toshinori felt more than saw him grin rakishly against his mouth, bumping their noses together gently.
"I've been known to negotiate, but do you really think I'm the type to endure anything I don't want?"
Toshinori was profoundly torn by the question. Aizawa was perhaps the strongest individual he'd ever met, and had endured so much. But that was the crux of it. This was a safe place, sacred, controlled, and cultivated like little else could be in the life of a hero. Aizawa was so forthright about his desires, Toshinori couldn't imagine him biting his lip and putting up with anything for anyone. Not here, not in this way. Then came a shy thought. If that were true, there was a case to be made that Aizawa wasn't enduring him either. And the very notion made something surge in his barrel chest, overflowing like sparkling American champagne or confetti. Yes, confetti, with an explosive rush of regard and appreciation for the man on top of him. "Understood," he said with a brave, effortless smile, and meant it. In that moment, Toshinori dearly wanted to give Aizawa something, even if it wasn't precisely what he wanted. Which found his hand wandering over the younger hero's hip to cup and squeeze his muscled ass. Then he reached further, following the leisurely drip of sweat down Aizawa's lean back, and slid his fingers into the cleft of his ass, and slowly rubbed over the rippled skin there. "In the meantime, I could oblige you to the best of my abilities," he said in low tones, grin sharpening as Aizawa visibly tensed at the intimate touch, and then loosened all in the same motion. The younger hero pushed back and returned his smile with clear greed. And All Might raised a brow. "If you can handle it, that is. Try me." Inspired by the sheer hubris of his companion's expression, All Might reached a muscled arm across his back and pinned the younger hero flat to his chest, chin against his temple. He briefly licked the fingers of his free hand and returned to toying and rubbing at him until he could press a single slick finger into the clench of his ass, circling. Aizawa immediately arched into the intrusion, stifled though the motion was by Toshinori's hold. And he closed his eyes and bit his lip, hips twitching. The resultant rub of their pitifully erect cocks was blissful and made shivers drip down his tense belly like the condensation on the walls. "You can come like this, can't you?" All Might asked in low, indulgent tones, knowing the answer. He couldn't forget the day the younger hero had dragged himself to orgasm on the floor in front of him, using nothing but his hand, and his cock stiffened painfully at the memory. He wanted nothing more than to touch him like that, deeply and with skill, and this game seemed like a good start. Aizawa panted hectically, with his hands clawed on his broad, naked chest, squirming as much as he could as the older hero fingered him wider in slow, purposeful circles. "Yeah," Aizawa grunted, craned to look up at him, something wolfish and challenging in his face. "I can probably make it work, if that's all you've got." Challenge accepted. Toshinori deftly added a second finger, and Aizawa jolted, slamming a fist on the wall behind them. "Hands big fuck," Aizawa hissed, legs shaking harshly and his knuckles white on the wood. All Might leaned close and nipped the shell of his ear, and the instant tremulous groan was a green flag to carry on and wreck him, per his suggestion, to the best of his abilities. "Do you want to come like this?" Toshinori wanted to ask. But the sights and sensation of Aizawa pinned and rolling determinedly against his buried fingers, crudely shoving his own swollen erection against his stomach in the process, was too much to allow for words. It was all he could do to continue, his ears burning and singularly attuned to whatever twist of the wrist made the younger hero's breath come faster. Toshinori could have been pitifully fumbling with the new act for all he knew, but desire, physical desire, and the desire to please, as well as the knowledge that Aizawa wasn't one to judge or tease, fueled his efforts until he found it. There, the angle and depth that made the man's eyes roll back in his head. Entire body shivering against his, Aizawa grimaced and roughly rubbed his face against his shoulder, clenched teeth glinting in the half-light. It was a second before Toshinori heard it, low and guttural as it was. Aizawa was whispering, "Fuck you," repeatedly against his skin, even as he strained and angled his hips like a jackknife, an impossible angle but for his gymnastic form. "Don't be rude, Aizawa-kun. I'm just trying to help you blow off steam," he chided, still managing to sound appropriately smug, despite how dry his mouth was. At that, Aizawa shoved at his chest, reaching underneath and grabbing and slapping at his arms like he was trying to break the hold, and moaning almost angrily. All Might hardly felt any of it, tight as his skin was, stretched with the sight of him struggling. "Fuck you," he hissed, louder, like a mantra, like he was focusing on something. Entire body knotted around Toshinori's thick fingers, pulsing mercilessly into his spread ass. "You're close," Toshinori said urgently, breathing more heavily than Aizawa himself. "Not that close," he countered, giving a hoarse laugh. He opened his eye. "You'd love to make me come right now, wouldn't you? I can practically feel your dick pulsing." It was devastatingly true. Toshinori's breath caught with how much he wanted it, and felt as if Aizawa had found him out in some way, the vague guilt only intensifying as the younger hero abruptly patted his arm and gestured, signaling to be let free. He obliged, first with his arm and then with his fingers, biting his lip at the loss of it all. Aizawa sat up straight and stretched backwards, once more sleepy and loose on his lap. "I have a feeling you were not going to give me the satisfaction," Toshinori said quietly, willing his heart to slow down. Aizawa shook his head almost fondly, brow shining with sweat, and took a moment to palm leisurely at himself. The easy, bold motion drew the hero's hungry gaze instantly, and the clingy heat of the sauna was nothing compared to the burn in his neck and ears as he watched and imagined licking over the sticky head of Aizawa's cock and down his shaft with the same slow care as his wandering hand. "You're a people-pleaser, and that's not technically my problem, Toshi. It's dangerous to put your own satisfaction solely in the hands of others, vicarious or not, and you should know that by now." Toshinori barely heard the veiled reprimand. He was so fixed on the show in front of him. Aizawa looked down at him and released a shuddering breath, corners of his mouth twitching, his fingers tightening over his ruddy cock, and he closed his eyes. "But if you really want to make me come with your hands, like that, there are some things you need to know. Simple technique. I'll teach you whenever you like, so long as we can try again." Toshinori just looked up at him with wide eyes, possibly the most willing student in the world. And then a knock came at the door. Aizawa snapped into a crouch like he was perched on a power line in a shootout, leg hiking up onto All Might's thigh for leverage, and his hands spread on the older hero's broad chest. All Might immediately disengaged and raised his own hands, utterly frozen. If anyone came in now, they would get an eyeful, particularly of how wide Aizawa could spread his legs. But he had to remind himself the door was locked. Wasn't the door locked? "What is it?" Aizawa asked tensely, eyes locked on the door instead of Toshinori's doubtlessly panicked expression. After a moment, a shy voice came. "Midoriya." "We were wondering if we could go back to the main area with the girls and maybe get food? Or were we supposed to wait for you? It's been 45 minutes.
"We don't want to break the structure of the night, as you have been kind enough to give us this wonderful experience, and we are indebted to you."
Ida's voice rattled through the door,
loud and entirely unnecessary. Aizawa visibly relaxed a fraction and put his head in his hand, trading a look verging on hysteria with Toshinori, who was beginning to find the humor in it all, as long as the door was really, actually, very much locked.
"Appreciate you checking, but just go," Aizawa said, loud enough that it would reach through the door.
All Might looked toward the door and opened his mouth, nervous that he should say something to keep up the charade, but Aizawa covered his mouth with his hand, a borderline evil grin stealing over his face.
"We're almost done here. We'll join you shortly."
"Okay, thanks," Midoriya chirped, and All Might fought not to cover his eyes in horror at the mere situation. It helped that there was already a hand on his face, of course. "Thank you, Sensei! We hope you enjoy the rest of your relaxation. It is much deserved." They practically heard Ida bow at the closed door. There was the sound of the two boys' feet slapping along the concrete into silence. Then Aizawa chuckled and turned his attention back to the huge man pinned underneath him.
"Now, weren't we in the middle of relaxing?" he murmured against his knuckles, hands still clamped over All Might's mouth.
The older hero pushed it aside, nerves thoroughly jangled.
"We have to be quick," he whispered, strained.
"Or we don't,"
Aizawa offered huskily. His hands slid over the bulges of All Might's pectorals, then abdomen, then lower. Toshinori caught his breath, shaft flexing sharply, and sending golden anticipation flooding through his spread legs. He went up to his toes automatically.
"It's a closed park. How much trouble are they really going to get into?"
"We've gotten into a fair amount ourselves," he said faintly, and Aizawa's only response was a lopsided grin before he kissed him flat to the wall. Then he abruptly dismounted, leaving Toshinori's head whirling from the gear shift and the sheer amount of boiling blood being directed to his perilously hard cock.
"Stand up. Come here."
Toshinori obeyed and rose steadily to his feet, wanting whatever Aizawa had to give. But then his companion turned and alighted on the sauna bench again, this time with his legs spread and facing the wall, and the older hero froze in his tracks.
"Oh, Aizawa-kun, we already..." he began nervously, fingers tamped punishingly around the base of his scalding cock, as he watched the younger hero test the wood to find a good position for his knees, sweat and water coating his skin and trickling obscenely down his sculpted thighs and ass.
"Calm down. Like I said, that would be stupid."
Aizawa held his hand out, his eyes hazy and once more challenging over the rise of his shoulder.
"Come here, behind me."
Of course he did, because he trusted Aizawa. But he still held his breath as Aizawa caught his wrist and pulled him close, behind him. He unconsciously hesitated before the straining arc of his cock could touch or fit into the gap of the younger teacher's thighs. But Aizawa made it very clear exactly what he wanted, and tugged again, harder.
"Stand so you can get your cock between my legs. Lean on the wall if you have to,"
came the murmured order, and Toshinori's skin thrilled helplessly as he complied, guiding his shaft between his legs. He braced one big hand on the dripping wooden wall and placed the other gently on Aizawa's side, breathing unsteadily into the crook of the younger hero's neck. He was entranced by the new angle they were in, his cock pulsing where it pressed eagerly against his skin.
"Good,"
Aizawa praised him breathlessly, reaching up and palming briefly over his cheek. The contact and the sentiment was new, and All Might nearly buried his face into Aizawa's back from the quiet, sincere word, seized with the urge to kiss him all over. But Aizawa's legs closing, hard, and his hand fastening over the head of his cock knocked any thought from his mind, except for pushing into those slick, tense thighs. Aizawa made a satisfied noise and shifted, rearranged, teasing pre-cum down his captured shaft with his palm as he did so, and Toshinori groaned low and long. Then Aizawa ostentatiously bent in front of him, skillfully negotiating the scant real estate of the bench in order to press his ass against and over the base of his aching cock.
It was obvious. It was shameless and strategic and exactly Aizawa to offer such a provocative sight after such a pointed conversation. And Toshinori wanted to say, scold, I know what you're trying to do. But with the man kneeling like he was, lean back rakishly dipped and dripping, and his cock buried between his thick thighs, all that came out was, oh, hell. Aizawa laughed, low and appreciative. Toshinori would have come right there if Aizawa hadn't rolled his hips and curtly jammed his ass against his front, and reminded him that there was a good amount of fun to be had before that. As in many things, Toshinori found himself in the presence of an unexpected expert. Aizawa was a savant when it came to the illusion of riding his cock, as well as the steady, clever slide of his hand. Within moments, he was panting into the curve of Aizawa's neck as he fucked into his thighs and his hand, cheek pressed to his tangled hair and enormous body ripping itself apart with how much he wanted it all. This, them, this rocking rhythm and the small moans Aizawa made with every push. The idea that Toshinori could give him something like this, and, more importantly, that Aizawa wanted it. He reached down to push Aizawa's hand away and palmed hectically at their rigid cocks, catching and stroking down. He moaned hoarsely at the new, complex gush of sensation, sucking at Aizawa's shoulder as he carefully, rhythmically pumped their shafts. The smell of cedar and sex was overwhelming. You deviant, Toshinori breathed out, amazed and conquered. Aizawa didn't answer, straining into his hand with his mouth open. As a last-minute impulse, he pulled Aizawa's hair. Toshinori actually yanked, firmly and close to his scalp as he'd been taught, and the shout that the younger hero gave was the rawest thing he'd ever heard. Aizawa liked it. Loved it, the sound said, and the shake of his body agreed. Almost instantly, cum shot over Toshinori's palm, and he, following that momentum, bit down on the length of Aizawa's neck and continued stroking, squeezing until orgasm flared through his own gut, and the younger hero's legs literally gave out from under him. All Might fell to one knee to catch his hot, slippery body, and Aizawa gasped and groaned into his arms, chest heaving. Holy shit, Aizawa grunted when he found the air, head lolling to the side. Where'd you learn that? All Might chuckled into the side of his neck, his head swimming. You, I think. The sauna was quiet except for the hiss of the drying rock. Outside, the breeze rustled the bamboo, and All Might suddenly wanted to be outside more than life itself, breathing in that air. Far away, he realized he was holding, cradling Aizawa in a way that he had once before, what felt like a lifetime ago. Except this time, his fellow teacher's body was soft and whole, and the look on his face was pure satisfaction. All Might's heart squeezed dangerously at the difference, coveting it. Aizawa breathed deeper and deeper, and when Toshinori set him down on the bench, he settled back and reached over to smack him in the chest. Jokes, Aizawa said stupidly, clearly spent. Shall I carry you outside? Toshinori offered, grinning. More jokes, he said, a little more malevolently this time. He shook his head, wincing. Just give me a minute. Shit. I'll get you some water then. Toshinori expected him to protest, but Aizawa just nodded, beautiful lean body stretching out on the length of the cedar benches. Something else to covet. Head officially spinning, Toshinori slung his robe back on and ventured hurriedly back into the dressing rooms to purchase a bottle of water, grateful that it seemed all the children had filtered back into the communal area and thus couldn't see his walk of shame. Surely some evidence of what he'd just done would have given him away. The flush on his cheeks, his mussed hair, his utterly gleeful expression. He hurried back, and Aizawa was already on his feet, rinsed and robed and tying up his soaked hair. There was no sign of their indiscretion. Aizawa accepted the water bottle with a grunt and tipped it back, swallowing with difficulty. Almight silently demolished his own, distantly aware of his body. This body, beginning to hurt. Aizawa looked over at him, and that was when Toshinori noticed the mark on his neck. It was a light pink, but most definitely shaped like a half moon of teeth, and All Might reached for his co-teacher, instantly, face red, his fingers tangled with Aizawa's hair, insistently tugging the new bun out, and even smoothing his loose hair over the betraying side of his neck. You can't, with your hair, not right now, he blurted out, swallowing against the lump in his throat. The students. Aizawa looked up at him in dual confusion and irritation. It definitely wasn't a normal thing to have your updo hectically undone by someone else, but his expression cleared as he brushed his hair back and saw.
He left a mark,
he said quietly, with interest. All Might explained, suddenly realizing that his hands were shaking on the other man's shoulders. They were close, very close. Touching and grabbing Aizawa's hair so boldly felt terribly intimate, even after what they'd just done, and the heat of the sauna blurred his vision. Before he could understand that he'd fully overdone it, All Might's legs gave out. Aizawa dipped and slung an arm around his back and under his arms, just barely keeping him upright.
Shit, you all right?
It was worth it, All Might murmured hoarsely, wincing.
That's not what I asked,
Aizawa said, then grunted, shrugging the enormous arm over his shoulder to a better, if no less slippery, position.
God damn, Toshinori, you're heavy.
Only 227 kilos.
Showers, then the main hall,
Aizawa said as he prompted the huge hero to walk with a tug of his wrist. All business.
Dinner is all that's left. We'll get you out of here soon.
All Might couldn't agree more, although a part of him loathed to wash the scent of cedar and Aizawa Shota from his burning skin. On the way out, even with as dizzy as he was, he gave Aizawa's bare leg a daring, loud little smack just under the hem of the yukata, and was rewarded with a charming death glare. It was the little things. The two heroes slowly wobbled their way back to the main hall, nursing cups of chilly water, clean and dry in their yukata, and squinting around in the playful low light. The ceiling was high and black and dotted with fake stars, the reach of the clock tower adding even more credence to the idea that they were all outside in a traditional street festival, enjoying themselves with the warm light of the lanterns. It was easy to spot the combined cluster of 1A and 1B seated at a bunch of floor tables they'd messily pushed together, and just the sight of them coexisting, chatting over shared plates of noodles and meat was a relief. At their approach, a few of the kids waved and called out, and Midoriya immediately spun around and rose to his knees, expression urgent.
Aizawa-sensei, are you all right? We heard you yell out at the sauna.
I hit my knee,
he said without missing a beat, ignoring All Might spitting his water down the length of a stall window. Midoriya's face became a little pinched, and then blanked out in an act of self-preservation. He promptly sat back down, crossing his hands in his lap. Aizawa turned and took All Might's elbow, addressing the kids in his teaching voice over the big hero's coughs.
All right, learning moment. This guy thought he was macho and let it get a bit too hot in our room. Saunas are places you have to...
Aizawa stopped, mid-sentence, as if choked, and Toshinori almost felt his body rattle next to him. The older hero glanced up, then looked for anything that could make his co-teacher's face kink with rage in such a way. He immediately bit his cheek so he couldn't grin. It was so hard for anyone to stand out in the mixed crowd of 1A and 1B. And yet... Floral hue, hair damp and combed back, Shinso Hitoshi was seated next to Midoriya, and sporting a yellow and blue yukata and a cheesy grin. Catching their eyes, he waved. Midoriya was also giving the general studies student a singularly baffled look, and, unable to help it, Toshinori chuckled thickly, hiding it in his fist. He only laughed harder and lapsed into more coughs, when Aizawa glared down at him and,
taking a deep, distinctly murderous breath, continued.
Saunas are places you have to watch yourself and your body, and time what you can handle. Because while the heat helps circulation and healing, it's easy to get overwhelmed and not realize you're overheated. The dizziness comes on quick.
Everything in moderation, All Might coughed, weakly raising his fist. The water still burned like hell in his throat. No plus ultra at the spa, young ones.
Aizawa sighed loudly, doing a fantastic job of selling his frustration. A little too good, and he brusquely sat the bigger man down and straightened his own yukata. I'm going to get some ice. Are all of you hydrated?
Yes, Aizawa-sensei.
The children moaned, half of them rolling on the floor or the table in their obedient misery, the other half of them already fretting over the mound of muscle that was Toshinori, cross-legged at the end of their table with a nauseated, sheepish look on his face, taking tiny sips of water.
Soda isn't hydrating,
Aizawa snapped, pointing over the crowd at Bakugo sipping on something sparkly and red. The boy shot him a glare, which he returned in spades.
It's green tea or water at the dispensers. I'm not having any of you pass out on me, so get with the program.
They all sat and had a perfectly normal dinner. They ate and laughed with the students, who overall were incredibly well-behaved and didn't even break anything the entire 3 hours they were there. Shinzo was blending in relatively well, considering his unexplained presence and strange offhanded way of being, and was on his way to falling asleep on Midoriya's shoulder after dinner, all of which Aizawa eyed with silent but violent mistrust. The students were clearly grateful to have the experience. Ida was elected to majestically present the 3 teachers with a hastily written thank you card from the entire class, which Midnight shrieked and grabbed out of his hand and stuck in her bosom, symbolically capturing the ardent spirit of youth into her heart. Just the flash of such cleavage in her low-slung pink and gold yukata caused several of the boys to momentarily lose their power of speech, which admittedly improved the conversation over the next half hour as they gathered their things and prepared to leave the little oasis, feeling much more relaxed and embodied. At the bus, they parted ways with the students, sending them back to the campus where 13 had arranged a star viewing party and lock-in. It was another surprise, and a reprieve for Aizawa and Toshinori, who were half an hour past done at that point. As soon as the bus pulled away, out of sight, Toshinori was finally able to breathe, and almost staggered to his knees as his hero form steamed away in the dark of the empty parking lot. Aizawa's arm instantly looped around his back, grabbing his suddenly oversized suit jacket and holding him there until he regained his footing. Their hands and arms tangled, and Toshinori apologized, stuttering. Aizawa just snorted and held fast until his legs stopped shaking. There was a cab waiting for them, arranged by Nezu, and Toshinori had never been more grateful to have a quiet ride home in his life. He even accidentally held the door for his co-teacher until Aizawa climbed in first, shooting him and his compulsive chivalry a sour look. On the ride back to Musutafu, the glittering landscape of Tokyo sliding soundlessly past the windows, Aizawa fell asleep on his shoulder and, carefully, All Might put his cheek to his damp hair and breathed in. Cedar and steam and safety. That's when he realized he didn't want to stop. Ever. It frightened Toshinori how much he didn't want to stop. This, them, any of it. He wanted to ride home to this man indefinitely. And just seeing Aizawa's hand resting on the seat, he was rocked with the sharpest desire to hold it. Enough that his own hand twitched before he realized he couldn't, or shouldn't. But couldn't he say that it had accidentally fallen there, if he woke from the slide of their fingers knitting together? Toshinori closed his eyes, dread and sweetness clashing in him and chasing his empty hand into a fist against his side. Oh no. This wasn't part of the deal. The end. My baby, come on, come on.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening! And he was most certainly a 15-year-old boy staring down the most belligerently shameless crush that had ever existed, and he didn't know how to hate it. Almight barely remembered. Oh my gosh.
Ah! Ah! He's Lancha!